Take your Bibles this morning. We're going to look at a phrase this morning that's kind of misapplied a lot of times in the Bible. But before we get to that actual passage, we're going to look in Proverbs chapter number 20, and also you can find Hebrews chapter number 13. So that's our two passages for this morning, and we'll be looking at those here this morning. So let's go to Proverbs. And we'll read there. Also, just a couple of quick announcements. Do remember, let's see, what do we have? Anything? Miss Kim, where you at? There you are. She's hiding back there. No announcements you know of? All right. For our teens, for the teen class, anyone wanting to go, they say I never announce it, so they can't say that today. Today is nursing home day. It's always the same Sunday, although they still seem to need a reminder, right, Philip? Yeah, all right. So I do have those few things. All right, let's look in Proverbs, and we're going to read a verse here, and then we'll go to the one in Hebrews. So Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 6. Now, the thought for our Sunday school lesson this morning is simply, a man is only as good as his word. How many of you have ever heard that phrase? Now, unfortunately, that is kind of like a lost phrase on this generation. I mean, it's nowadays you're just expected to lie. I mean, that's the norm. You know, used to it was the other way around. Used to you could depend. If somebody told you something, you know, you pretty much could guarantee it. You didn't have to worry about it. You know, then it began to be less and less so. And now, it's everybody always says, where'd you hear that? Well, you can't believe that person. Oh, where'd you hear that? Oh, it was on the news. Oh, you can't believe that news channel. Where did you read that? Oh, you can't believe it. And now, sadly to say, it's gotten even in our churches. And, oh, well, I read that in the Bible. Oh, well, you know, that Bible, that's wrong. But really and truly, it is, a man is only as good as his word. And we're going to look at this in relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in Proverbs, chapter 20, and look at verse number 6, we have an interesting verse. The Bible says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. Now, that's not a hard proverb to figure out, right? Usually everybody will tell you how good they are. In some way, shape, form, or fashion. You know, for the most part, people like to talk about themselves, right? I mean, yeah, you say, oh, I'm not one of those people. Yeah, you are. You're just trying to convince yourself you're not. You know, it's just obvious. Now, it's what we are. It's how we are. You can't get around these things. They're facts. They're truths from the Word of God. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but then notice the comparison to that. But a faithful man, who can find? And so that's the other side of that coin. So everyone will proclaim his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? Now, we know that one answer to that question is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, right? All right, so let's go over to Hebrews, and with that thought in our mind, which kind of sets the tone for our lesson, let's look at what Hebrews 13 says in regards to the Lord Jesus Christ, because there seems to be some confusion out there amongst this verse, or about this verse, amongst people in churches of various types and forms that we see here today. So the book of Hebrews, chapter number 13, and we're going to read just a few verses here to give our context. We'll start with verse 5. Let your conversations be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. So we're going to look at this phrase, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, and kind of in regards to a faithful man who can find. But before we do that, we'll have a word of prayer. Then we'll get into our Sunday school lesson for the day. Lord God, we thank you for the time, Lord God, to be here this morning. Thank you for the rain of this morning and the things that you've already given us here today. We do pray for your services today. We do pray that you might bless this teaching here for this hour in the Sunday school time. We do pray that your word would go forth and speak to the hearts, that you might open some scriptures to us, maybe show us a few things we've never seen, maybe be able to connect them, Lord God, Lord, in us, in a spiritual application, in a way that we can see a benefit from them. We pray for our teachers and our workers next door, especially those with the little kids, those in the nurseries, college and career class, Lord, going on out in the modular buildings. We ask, Lord, that you bless each teacher this morning. Give them the right words. Give them the things that you would have them to say. May the folks that have come to Sunday school this morning not only just get a blessing, but Lord God, learn something, be edified, be instructed, be encouraged, be benefited in some way, and we'll thank you for it. We also ask that you bless the services that we'll have here today in advance, especially for those that'll be visiting maybe with us today, or anyone that just comes, Lord God, needing help this morning, that you might grant it to them. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, in our Bibles here, we see this phrase, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, if you've ever had any dealings or been exposed to what we call any form of charismatic, you know, whether it be Pentecostal, holiness group, whatever title they go by, but folks that believe in, you know, now, don't get me wrong, I don't believe that Jesus can heal. Of course he can heal. But I'm talking about folks that do miracles today and believe in the signs and the tongues and the things that were given in the early apostles' days, to that believe those are still present today. One of their key verses is, they love to quote this verse. They say, oh, well, Jesus the same yesterday and today and forever, so that means whatever he could do then, I can do now. And I'm like, okay, well, walk on water for me then. And I hadn't seen anybody pull that one off, you know. Or, usually when I go fishing, it's five small fishes, you know. So give them five small fishes and say, how about feeding 5,000 with it? You know, but that's what they claim. They use this verse, and they're always quoting it. Jesus Christ the same today, yesterday, and forever. Now, is that true? Yes. But does it mean what they say it means? Of course not. Now, let's look at something here this morning. First off, well, if you just think about it, how, or we're going to look at some ways in which Jesus Christ was not the same yesterday and today and forever. Because we can't just apply that, all the way across the board. Now, so how was Jesus not the same? Well, let me ask you something. Was he born as a baby in Bethlehem? All right, did he stay that way? No. So you can't say yesterday he was a baby, and today he's a baby, and forever he's a baby. Can you? See what happens when you start trying to apply that all the way across the board? Now, so what else? Let's see. Think about it like this, okay? Has his message changed? Whoa, that one's a little more tricky, right? Has his message changed? Yes and no. I'm getting yeses, I'm getting noes. Now, you see, that's where it starts to get tricky, and they start to use to buy. Well, let me look at something here. Let's just look at something. All right, look in Matthew. You can hold your place here. But look in Matthew chapter 10. Let's look at an illustration of this. In Matthew chapter number 10. Now, see, this is Sunday school, so we're going to use a lot of scripture this morning. So I hope you keep your Bible handy and look at these things. But what I want to show you is you have to be careful, and that's where some of these folks get a little messed up on how they treat this topic of Jesus Christ being the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, in Matthew chapter 10, we're going to look at verse 5. Now, the first time the Lord Jesus Christ sent his disciples out, what did he tell them here? In verse number 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, is that not Jesus? If you got a red letter Bible, is that not in red? Did Jesus not tell his disciples that? Well, then what are we doing here at church this morning? We're all a bunch of Gentiles. I don't know. Maybe somebody in here actually is a full-blooded Jew. I don't know. But if you are, I mean, that's beside the point this morning. But, you know, it's still Jesus' message, what? It changed. So you see, I mean, Jesus didn't stick with this. If you go over to the end of the Gospels, he tells them, go ye into all the world, right? So something changed. Now, I realize that is why, and I'm not teaching on rightly dividing this morning, but that is why you must rightly divide the Word of God. Because whereas all the Bible is written for you, all of the Bible is not written to you. It's kind of like somebody else's mail. Have you ever, have you ever gotten somebody else's mail in your mailbox? I mean, now, our, you know, surely nobody has done that, right? I mean, we have the most efficient postal system in the world, right? And if you work for the post office, I'm not making fun of the post office. I know it's. I mean, I don't see how any of that process works. I mean, you know, really and truly, you put a letter on something, and I mean, and seriously, if they go off of handwriting for the zip code, how in the world have they got a machine that can figure that out? I mean, you know, I look at people's handwriting and I can't figure it out. You know, we do visitor's cards, and sometimes Kim calls me in there and says, hey, Tony, can you make out this visitor's card? I have no idea what this, what address this is on this street. And I'm like, I don't know. Send it to the post office. They'll figure it out. You know, they got a machine. It'll read it and it'll get it right. Maybe not. I don't know. But nonetheless, have you ever gotten somebody else's mail? Now, if you wasn't paying attention, have you ever accidentally opened somebody's mail? Because, you know, you didn't really look at who it was addressed to. You just thought, oh, it's in my box. Boom, I'm going to open it up. You ever got a letter from maybe your mortgage company? Maybe they had the same mortgage company as you. And you opened that up and it said, we are foreclosing on your mortgage as of next week. I mean, would that not knock off of you? You're like, wait a minute, I've made my payments. What are you talking about? And then you open it, and then you look back and guess what? It's got somebody else's name on it. Now, as scary as that may be, as unrealistic as that may be, you know, I mean, as wild as that is, and then you realize, oh, wait a minute, this is somebody else's mail. Not everything in the Bible is doctrinally written to you, or to me, or to this time period. And that's why we have to rightly divide. But you see, and because of that, hey, Jesus not only changed physically, he was not a baby forever, he did grow up, right? But at the same time, if you look at his message through the Bible, it changed. Now, let me give you an illustration where you can run into trouble with that. If you've ever dealt with personal work or you've tried to visit people, and you may run across, Church of Christ. And, you know, you say, oh, boy, he's just down on everybody this morning, the charismatic church. No, I'm just, I mean, that's just what they go by. If they're probably talking about Baptists in their church this morning. So that's okay, because that's what we go by. So let them talk about it. But, you got to identify people, right? You know, but they have a belief that you must be water baptized as a part of your salvation. If you're not baptized now, and it's not just good enough that I baptize you or that we baptize you over here. You got to be baptized in their church by one of their elders or it didn't count. Now, what's interesting is, if you've ever dealt with them on that, well, one day, I was in the prison, in a prison ministry, not in the jail, or in the prison, but I used to have a couple of them in there, and they would always want to, you know, argue and refute the scriptures and do that kind of stuff. And so, one day I was talking with one of them, and we were going round and round, you know, the Church of Christ 500, they got about four scriptures, and you deal with each one of them and you go right back to the beginning and it's just over and over again. And so finally I said, wait a minute here. I said, let me ask you something. I said, did Jesus ever baptize anybody? And he's like, whoa, I don't know. And I said, and so then we had a little bit of argument about the passage there in John. I said, okay, well, let's look at this. I said, let me ask you something. I said, what did Paul say? So we jumped over to 1 Corinthians. Paul says, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. He's like, what do you do? And I was like, so what do you think about that? He said, well, he said, you can follow Paul if you want to. I'm going to follow Jesus. And I said, see, that's what you get into. Why? Because they say, oh, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know what? You say, is that really a valid argument? About 10, 15 years, well, no, it wouldn't be 10, I've been here almost 10. Probably about 15 to 20 years ago, I was sitting at home when I lived in Alabama, and I was watching one of those, Dateline or whatever, CNN, one of those network shows, and literally, it was on the difference between Protestants and Catholics. Through the ages. And you know what? Even a secular television show, a secular television host, you know what the big argument was? Okay, Protestants follow Paul and Catholics follow Christ. And they say, oh, well, who would I rather... See what I mean? Because, but let me ask you something. What did Paul say? Paul said, be ye followers of Christ, even as I also am. You say, why? Because, see, Jesus' message changed a little bit. What Paul was given by the Lord Jesus Christ to preach to the Gentiles is a little different than what Jesus preached to the Jews, right? So you see, not only did Jesus physically change, he didn't stay a baby all the time, but in a way, his message changed. Now, it's not null, and you follow what I'm saying? It's a little different. Why? Because what you find in the Gospels sometimes seems to contradict Paul. But if God gave Paul what he wanted to write, then we have to realize that God is dealing with people differently at different times in the Bible. That's the only way you can make sense out of the Word of God. It's rightly dividing. Now, let's look at another form. When Jesus Christ came to the earth the first time, was he pretty easygoing? So to speak, right? I mean, he came as a lamb. I mean, he was rough in speech sometimes. He called them a generation of vipers. He called them hypocrites. He told them, you've made some people more the children of hell than of anything else. I mean, he was plain in his speech. But we don't see him raising up an army and doing any battle, do we? No. I mean, when he was before Pilate, he said, you know, hey, if my kingdom was of this world, would my disciples fight? But it's not. Now, let me ask you something. When you get over there in Revelation chapter 19, and he comes back the second time, is it the same as the first time? No, the Bible says he comes as a roaring lion. It says there's a sharp sword that goeth out of his mouth, and he shall smite the nations. And the Bible says the blood flows as deep as a horse's bridle for over about 150 something miles through that valley there. I mean, when he comes at the second advent, it is not the Lamb of God that is coming. It is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, right? So you see, Jesus was different in his first coming than he will be in his second coming. So in other words then, we've shown and we've kind of proved the differences, so you got to be careful just saying, oh, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, that's not necessarily what that verse is meaning. Now, so what does it mean then? All right, let's go back to Hebrews 13 and let's get our context. Because remember, a verse without a context is a pretext. You can always, always take something out of context. Now, some of you may have heard this. I use it with the teens. I know they've heard it. But there was a poor Indian, and he was on the reservation, and he was in his cart and his horse, and he was trying to go to town. And so this big semi-truck came barreling down the highway, and boy, I mean, just run him off the, turned his wagon over, put him in the ditch, flipped him over. The horse was, down. And so, he's injured and all these things. So they go to court. And, he's just trying to get his compensation from the insurance company on the driver there. And the defense attorney, for the driver's insurance, he stands up at the very beginning of the trial and he says, Judge, he says, I move that we have a mistrial. We throw this out. There's no case here. And the judge says, okay, what grounds? And he says, well, he says, the plaintiff here, he said, when the policeman showed up on the scene of the crime, he told the policeman, I am perfectly fine, nothing is wrong with me. And so the judge thought, well, that's kind of odd. So he looked at the plaintiff, he said, well, did you say that? He said, yes, sir. But you didn't understand the situation. He said, when the policeman arrived on site, he walked up to me, or he walked up to the horse, and he said, well, I don't think he's going to make it. And he pulled out his revolver and shot him. And then my dog was over in the ditch, and he went over to the dog and said, well, the dog's not going to make it. So he pulled out his revolver and shot him. And he said, he came to me, he said, how are you doing? And he said, I said, I am perfectly fine. There is nothing wrong with me. Now you say, what's the difference? Context. You see, you got to keep things in their context, right? Now, I mean, the media, they have a heyday with context, right? Politician says something, they take it totally out of context, and it's the front page news, you know, because it sells. But so notice, let's go back here. So let's look. Now, we're in a chapter here, so let's go back and look at this, verse 1. Now we're going to get some verses we didn't read. Let brotherly love continue, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for ye have said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now who said that? Well, it's a quote from the Old Testament. God said it. But yeah, I know, Jesus and God, they're one and the same, right? Now, in that quote, is Jesus Christ the same today, yesterday, and forever? Yes. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. To his people. Once again, context. But you got to be careful. Let's read on. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Now, so in this passage here, we're seeing a lot of things that you and I are being either warned about or encouraged in doing, right? Number one, we saw let brotherly love continue. We saw be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, right? Now, notice whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Of course, marriage is honorable in all there. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Your conversation in the Bible, you got to be careful with that word. It can mean dialogue between two people, but it can also mean your manner of life. Because it goes over there, if you go over to 1 Peter, you can prove that. There's a case where conversation is used as manner of life. Be content with such things as you have. So we're getting these things. Then notice it says, verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you. Authority is one of the biggest problems that we all have in life, right? We've seen the authority. We spent a lot of time dealing with it here the first part of the year. God's the head. Jesus Christ under him. The man's the head of the household. The husband and the wife, they're the parents or the head of the children. All of those things, it just trickles on down. We got a policeman out there in the foyer. When we're out in society, he's an authority. We need to obey what he says. Those kind of things. It's following authority. Remember them which have the rule over you. And then it says, who have spoken unto you the word of God. That would be maybe your parents. That could be your pastor. Those that God's put spiritually over you. Then notice it says, whose faith follow. Now, you know what? If you've got a good man of God, then you can follow him. Paul said, be ye followers of me, as I also am of Christ. The only problem is, every now and then, I mean, even as good as some men are and as faithful as some men are, they can still slip up, right? They can still let you down. Then, so it's interesting, we see that we are to follow something here, whose faith follow, considering the end there of the conversation, and then notice that's where that verse is stuck in. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know why? Because you can follow the Lord Jesus Christ no matter whether it was yesterday, today, or forever. See it? Now you say, well, wait a minute, but his message changed. Well, okay, can you still follow him? His physical stature changed. Can you still follow him? He's no longer on earth right now, but he will be one day. Can I still follow him, whether he's here or in heaven? Yes. See what I'm driving at? You see why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ is faithful and his testimony is true. Look at what it says. Whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Now, the problem with following men is we don't know where they're going to end up. You know, I mean, I may start out good, but, you know, after so many years, I might just throw in the towel and quit. Well, you know, you don't want to follow me all the way to the end, right? So, you see, but the Lord Jesus Christ is someone we can follow. Why? Because the same today, yesterday, and forever. Now, notice there's something in here. There's a direct connection once again, as we always will see with the Lord Jesus Christ. If we look back to verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you who have spoken unto you what? The Word of God. Now, really and truly, that's what we're following. Now, you say, well, you know, when people like to argue and say, oh, well, I'm following Jesus, you're following Paul. I'm following Paul where he was directed by the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not following Paul in the sense that I'm convinced I got to go to Jerusalem and get bound and sent to Rome for prison. Right? God told him not to go there. 3 times God told him not to go there. And he did it anyway. Now, I wouldn't follow Paul in that sense. But where I will follow Paul is where God told him to write what he wrote in Romans, Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, whatever comes next. You know, y'all know the books of the Bible. My mind went blank. But, you know, all the way up to Hebrews here. And there's some debate about that. You know, if Paul didn't write Hebrews, he at least wrote these last 2 chapters. You know, that's pretty conclusive. But notice here, so when we're fought, we gotta have something to follow. Now, so what I want to do real quick is I want to show you why the Lord Jesus Christ, not only are we looking at how to deal with this verse the same yesterday, today, and forever, but why can we follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, because there is a direct connection between the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. And you know what? A man is only as good as what? His Word. That's where we started, right? See, a man is only as good as his word. You know what? I'll follow somebody until they break their word. You know what? Why? You lose faith in somebody when they break their word. It's a lot harder to follow somebody that don't practice what they preach. Right? Now, look at this here. So, we're going to look at the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, take your Bibles. Look back to Hebrews chapter number 11. These things do tie together. Look at Hebrews chapter number 11. Look at verse number 1. Now, we know this verse. It's a great famous verse for definition of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, elders obtained a good report. Now, look at verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. So the world was framed by the Word of God, right? Now, if you ask somebody who created the heaven and the earth, first answer usually out of their mouth is God, right? Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You know what the problem is? Go to John chapter 1. Go to John chapter 1. That's our problem. Look there. It's John, Gospel of John, chapter number 1. Well, if you look at John, Jesus created everything that was created. Say, well, that's a little confusing. Well, not when you consider that Jesus Christ is the Word of God. See, now there is a connection between Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and being God that I fully do not understand. I can show it to you by the Scriptures. I can plainly show you there's a direct connection. I just fully can't grasp it or comprehend it in my own mind. How it works. Because it's one of those mysteries. It's one of those things we take by faith, like the Trinity. They're all three one. They're all three separate. That don't make much sense to me. I know illustrations. We can prove it. We have verses. But it's still something that's hard to fully wrap our minds around. Now, if you think back to creation, when God, especially in the recreation there, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible says, and God what? said, let there be light. He said, right? And God said, let the dry earth appear. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life. In that creation, it was God said, God said, God said, right? So that's a direct connection between the Word. Now, in the Gospel of John, whoops, I'm in the wrong place. But in the Gospel of John chapter 1, look at verse number 1. In the beginning was what? The Word. But that Word is capitalized. Why? Because it is the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There's your Trinity. The same was, or part of the Trinity, the same was in the beginning with God. Now look at verse 3. All things were made by Him. Who is that? The Word. Why? Hebrews said, by faith we understand the worlds are framed by the Word of God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. In who? In the Word. In 1 John 1:1, John says, we have handled the Word of life. Talking about Jesus Christ. Now, seven times in your King James Bible, Jesus Christ is called the Word, capital W. You've got three of them right here in verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, you got, well, I'll go ahead and finish that thought. And the Word was made flesh, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh, there's four. And then you go over to 1 John 1:1, and you've got, we have handled the Word of life. That's five. Then you go to John chapter 5, verse number 7. There are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. There are six. Which, by the way, that verse is thrown out of most all modern Bibles, so you only have six, which is incomplete. God's number of completion is seven. And there's seven times Jesus is called the Word of God. Why? Because the Word is complete. And then the last one is in Revelation chapter 19. And we're going to look at that one here in just a second. In Revelation 19, 13. Now, so some of you might ask, well, but wait a minute. Okay, so I understand that Jesus was with God and He was active in the creation. He's given credit as the Word for creating all that was here, right? Now, but what did He do in the Old Testament? Was there a Word of God in the Old Testament? Sure. Take your Bibles, look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, or is it 2 Peter? I'll get it right in a minute. It is somewhere in my notes, 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. You know this passage. But 2 Peter. So what happened in the Old Testament? Well, the Bible says, 2 Peter chapter number 1. And we're going to look at verse, for sake of time, we're just going to look at verse 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So all those Old Testament prophets, they spoke the Word of God. Why? The Holy Ghost would come upon them, give them what to speak. That's the Word. That's the Word of God. It's as sure as God Himself saying it. Why? Because God Himself said it. Now, there was a way to judge, you know, you say the Bible, God told him, He said, okay, if you want to know a prophet speaks of me, if the thing that he says doesn't come to pass, I didn't say it. And if it does, then I said it. And so he gave his own test there. You can read about it in the Old Testament. Now, but notice, so in the New Testament, then we see not only this Word that was in the beginning, not only this Word that was conveyed through the Holy Ghost to the prophets of old, but then in John 1:14 it says, and the Word became flesh and what? Dwelt among us. The Word became flesh. The Word was Jesus Christ. That was God manifest in the flesh. And then notice over here in Revelations. Let's jump over there. Revelation chapter 19. Now, you know what's wild? What happened to the Lord Jesus Christ? We know He was crucified. We know 3 days later He arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. He appeared for 40 days to His disciples. And then He was what? He ascended up into heaven, and that's where he remains now. But guess what? One day he's coming back. Now, I'm not talking about the rapture. I'm talking about the second advent. So you've got the tribulation yet in the future, the rapture, then the tribulation. Then you've got the second advent, and then you've got the millennial reign. But notice here, at the second advent, look at what he's still called. In Revelation chapter 19, in verse number 11, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood," and what? "His name is called the Word of God." So in the beginning was what? The Word. And when he returns all the way at the end here at the second advent to wipe out the Antichrist and his armies, what is he called? His name is called the Word of God. Say why? Because Jesus Christ, in that sense, if you want to put a doctrinal sense on it, he was the Word yesterday, today, and forever. Because a man's only as good as his Word. And his word is the best it's ever been. See, every man will proclaim his own goodness. That Antichrist will proclaim himself to be God. But a faithful man, who can find? See, that's why in Hebrews when it says, "Whose faith follow," considering the end of their conversation, then the very next verse is, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever." That's what it's trying to connect to you in that verse. It's not trying to get you to go out and start trying to a faith healing ministry, because Jesus could heal one day and he has to be the same all the way through. I mean, you know, the funny thing is, I mean, Jesus, you ever notice in the Gospels, I mean, what did Jesus tell people? He said, every time he healed them, he'd say what? "Go and sin no more." Well, aren't you glad he didn't tell you that when you got saved? You'd be in a mess. Because we probably sinned, you know, we probably sinned, some of us, maybe even the next few minutes. You know, not even realizing that we were sinning because we didn't know nothing about the Word of God. We were saved, but you see the difference? So I'm glad Jesus is not fully the same yesterday, today, and forever in that sense. But when it comes to the Word, when it comes to His testimony, when it comes to His faith, it is the same today, yesterday, and forever. Notice here, he's called the Word of God. Now you say, well, what can we do with this? What is the application for us? I mean, we've learned a Bible truth, but what is an application for us? Well, have you ever thought about how, I know nobody in here is perfect, but that is why we ought to strive to have our word and our actions match. Look at something here. Take your Bibles. You're in Revelations, right? Look back to Revelations chapter number 1. Now you see, it's a beautiful... Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Look in Revelations chapter number 1. And look at what John wrote at the very beginning. Verse 1. Revelations chapter 1. Verse 1. "The revelation of Jesus Christ." Okay, that's who we're following, right? Boy, if it's a revelation of Jesus Christ, well, I want to know something about the Lord Jesus Christ. "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show his servants things which must come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of" what? "The word of God. And" the what? "The testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw." Now, what's unique is, if you ever wondered, what is the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, oh, well, the things that he did, the way he lived, all of those things. Sure. Those may be part of that testimony. But a biblical definition is always best, right? Look in Revelation chapter 19 where you just were. Now, right before the second advent passage that we read in verse 11, in Revelation chapters 19, In verse number 7, we have what's called the marriage of the Lamb. Let us be glad and rejoice, give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God for the testimony of Jesus. Now you want a biblical definition? For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, we just read, in the old days, man spake what? Man spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit of God. The testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. How did you test a prophet? If what he said came to pass. All right? How do you know how good a man is? If what he says, he does. Right? See the connection? See, Jesus Christ the same today, yesterday, and forever is made to be about a whole lot of things today by different groups that it has no intentions of being made. It's in connection to the fact Jesus Christ was the Word in the beginning. He's the Word in the end. He's been the Word all the way through. And that message changed depending on who God dealt with at different times, but the Word is still truth. You know what? Now, so we see that a testimony is the spirit of prophecy. How do you test a prophet? If his word comes true, he's of God. So in other words, our actions, our conversation, our manner of life, everything about us, in order to go hand in hand with our word, our testimony. Now you say, what's the difference? How do we accomplish that? Well, we're almost there. We're almost at the end. You say, what is it? Here's your practical part of that lesson. We learned something about the Bible, but how do we apply it? All right, real quick, we're going to look at three verses. Back up to 1 Peter. And these will go real quick. 1 Peter, most of you know this, most of you realize this. But when a man gets saved, do you know that you're saved by the Word of God? Say, how do you explain that? I cannot. I can't. I know it has to do with Jesus Christ, but I know it also has to do with the written Word. And I can't explain that. Because look in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, there it is, right? Man, he must be born again. That's what Jesus said. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by what? The Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Folks, what you have in your lap is written words on pages. But they're way more than that. These words are alive. You don't believe it? Carry this book out in public and you'll watch how alive it is. It's banned in over 150 countries. You say, why? Because it means something. This right here scares people. I mean, you know, I know there's a lot of things in our society about gun control today. Guns don't scare me. It's the people holding them that scare me. Right? You know? But now notice here, that's the problem. Books don't scare me. Why? Because they're dead. A gun is a dead object. A sword is a dead object. But boy, when it gets life connected to it, it becomes totally different, right? That's why, you know, I mean, carry Karl Marx's books around. Carry Darwin's book around. Carry a Quran around. Now, you might get a little hard looks in our society because if they know what it is. But still, nobody really cares about it. But you carry a Bible and people go nuts. Say, why? Because it's alive. And that's what borns you again. Now, the next verse we got to look at, we got to hurry. Look in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Whoops, went too far. Now, so we are saved by the Word. Why? Because the Word of God is alive. Hebrews says it's quick, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing. You know what? That's why people don't like it. The Word of God tells them what they are. I mean, let me ask you something. Boy, you ever have your best friend? Every day he just tells you you're a low-down, rotten, no good, sorry, sapsucker. You know, that's what we say back in Alabama. Some of you are like, what is that? Don't worry about it. I can tell you this, it ain't good. But I mean, you know, I mean, what if somebody told you that every day? You'd say eventually, well, I'm not going to see that person. No, I have anything to do with that person. That's right. That's why people don't like the Word of God. It reveals what you truly are. But now notice here, in 1 Thessalonians, and how in the world did I go back to Hebrews? That ain't where I wanted. 1 Thessalonians, I'll get there, folks, just bear with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye have heard of us, received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God. Which what? Which effectually worketh also in you that believe. See, there's the deal. Jesus Christ, there's a great example of Jesus Christ whose faith we can follow considering the end of his conversation in Hebrews. Why? Because the Word is the Word is the Word is the Word all the way through. You know what? You say, well, how can I make my testimony, how can I make my life match what I say or what the Word says? All right? The Word of God, it will effectually work in you, but only in those that believe. You got to be saved because you're born again by the Word, and then you've got to let the Word of God work in you. And there's only one way for that process to happen. We won't look at this verse, but it's the third verse that I mentioned there at the end. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know what? You've got to simply have faith. You know what everybody says today? This is old-fashioned. This will not work. This is outdated. We got to progress. We got to match up with modern day society. If the Word is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, granted, I'm not trying to live Exodus chapter 20 for my salvation. Why? Because Ephesians chapter 2 tells me what is my salvation. But that doesn't make the Word of God any less true. It doesn't make the Word of God any less valuable. And you know what? Every problem you have in life can be solved in 31,102 verses. That's what's in a King James Bible. You say, what's interesting about that? 31,102. If you add those numbers up, it's 7. Why? Because when God completes something, it's in sevens. When God does something perfect, it's in sevens. And he called Jesus Christ the Word 7 times. Unless you got the wrong Bible. But nonetheless, why? Jesus Christ the same today, yesterday, and forever. He is in the Word. His faith you can follow, considering the end of his conversation. And you know what? That's what we need. That's the proper way to look at that verse, but it also gives us a spiritual application that our actions, our testimony, our conversation, our manner of life, whatever you want to call it, it needs to match what we say. But more importantly, it needs to match what this says. Especially if you're proclaiming this as a saved person. Lord God, we thank you for the time. Thank you for the lesson this morning. Pray that you'd help us with these things we found in your word. May they ring true in our hearts. May they help us, Lord God, to do things that would be pleasing in your sight. Bless the rest of the day. Bless the rest of our church, our services, and all that's said and done. May you be glorified in it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.